Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
The Alliance of American Football is suspending operations just 8 games into the first season. They reached out to several of the coaches from our state that are coaching now in that thing. And I'm told that they have a 3 p.m. meeting today. They all believe the league is done and over. Talk about that later in the program. Our next guest, I had him on the show a few years ago. He's absolutely a riot. Funny guy, sports fan. Jim Brewer, comedian. He's been in Portland recently. He's got a big project he's working on in Portland, and he joins us now. Where the hell are you, Jim Brewer? Why are you not in studio with me?
Well, right now I'm in New York City. Doing some interviews over here in the East Coast.
How are your Mets?
Unless you want to fly me out.
Yeah. Were you in Portland, though? Like, so you got a big... You love Portland, don't you?
Well, here's the... Well, I was out there with Metallica, and the one night, I had 2 nights off, and one of the Metallica crew had a big desire to feed the homeless. So she figured out where to go and all that jazz, and we end up out there feeding homeless. It was freezing, and then she also, before it happened, said, "Hey, can you book a club? And, you know, you can feed people by doing a food drive that night." And I went, "Oh, that's a good idea, and I can do a set." Unbeknownst to me, it's booked to feed people. And when the show was over, I did at Helium. When the show was over, the guy who's been following me around Metallica says, "Hey, you know, I taped tonight's set." And I went, "Oh, okay. Well, it's nice. I'll listen to it later and take my notes." He goes, "No, tonight was special." And I went, it was special, but, it was nothing. About a month later, he goes, "You have yourself an unbelievable album." I went, "Album?" He goes, "Yeah, you have to listen to this. I'm going to give this to the manager." And then my manager said, this album is next level. I went, "What? What are you took tonight in Portland?" Like, I knew I had a good time, and I feel like I've been doing this for the last 2-3 years. I just haven't filmed comedy specials or made albums. So in my mind, I'm just doing another little pop-in Jim Brewer enjoys life and makes people laugh and try to inspire for an hour and a half. I didn't think I'd have a comedy album that people are buzzing about, which seems to be the case. So... And that's the craziest part. It really was, and I'm not saying this for promo reasons. I'm being dead serious. You can check your homework. It was to get food into that place on a food bank and a food drive that night. It was like, "Hey, if you come in and you bring 3 items, we give you merchandise all night." And that day we were out feeding homeless. So who knows? Maybe the good spirits somewhere are... said, "Hey, we'll miraculously make this funnier than you anticipated." I don't know. But all I know is people laughed, and hopefully the album will make more people laugh.
Jim Brewer is with us. You might remember him from Saturday Night Live or Half Bake or Comedy Central or from his podcast. You can find him at officialjimbrewer.com. That's his website. And he's got this album, Live from Portland, that is coming out. Is it coming out this Friday? Is that when, or is it already out?
Yeah. No. It comes out this Friday. This Friday comes out. It's on everything. Wherever. iTunes, Spotify, you name it, it's going to be there. So it won't be too hard finding it. There shouldn't be too many people left in this world going, "Where do I find this album?" I don't know. Where? Just wherever you would get one, except for walking into a Tower Records, because they don't exist anymore.
There's something about live performance, and you might, you know, you go back as a comedian, when I don't like to tape interviews, because some people say, hey, I can't come on during the show, can I tape it? I always like a live interview, because I think there's something that happens live. Do you think that goes into the fact that you didn't know they were taping it, therefore you're just a little looser, you're not thinking about it?
Well, that could definitely have been it. But at the same time, I record all my shows now, and I've been doing it for a little over a year and a half, mostly for web content and mostly for me to learn. So I'll sit there and I'll watch the set and go, which I've never done before. And, you know, shame on me. But, his new manager said, you got to watch your stuff and give yourself a note. So I'm like, I know what I did. And it took me until I was 50 years old to go, I can really elaborate on that joke. And you know what? That one, that wasn't that funny. I should do that. So I've been taping myself. I did. And even that night in Portland, I knew I was filming it. It wasn't a professional film shoot, but I was filming it so I can study from the set. Because I did try things that night that I've never done before. And maybe that just came out extremely organic that evening. Because I'd be a liar if I said, I've listened to the album multiple times. And maybe I shouldn't say this, but I haven't really listened to it. I listened to it once for the sound quality. And I went, okay, yeah, cool, sounds good. So, I don't know. I think it was just one of those organic nights. And I feel like I have many organic nights. I don't know.
Jim Brewer with us. What was it like to tour with Metallica?
Well, it didn't suck. I'll tell you that. That was, I'm going to say, one of the greatest gigs, if not the greatest gig I ever had in my lifetime. To be around, first of all, I'm a diehard fan. So that's number one. Number two, I'm really good friends with the band. I'm extremely close with the Hetfields and Lars. And so to be around, although I saw them less during the tour than I do when they're not touring, which was funny because when they showed up, it was like the president showed up and all these exotic animals were being pushed in. They just run a really tight, good business machine from the minute they arrive to the arena to the time they leave. It was fascinating to watch their work ethic. They work hard all the way to after the show. I've never seen anyone put so much time into their fans and the show. And so I got to say, besides just the band, just touring with Metallica was the greatest experience. You know, you're a comedian, you travel by yourself. It gets very boring, very depressing. I'm on a tour bus with 10 other guys. We roll into a city. There's 13 tour buses. There's 110 people taking over a hotel, and we're owning that city for the next 2-3 days. It was like traveling with a family, and I miss everyone from that tour. I had such a great time on so many levels. And you know what? If this happened, I don't know, 10 years ago, 20 years, 30 years ago, it wouldn't have been as great. This was good timing in my life in general.
Your Mets are killing it right now. You know, they're 3-1. I don't want, knock on wood.
No, I know, but so are your Seattle Mariners.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's the team to root for.
Nah, I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Giants fan. Unfortunately, they can't score a run. But
you guys lost some people. But you know what? The Mets. Listen, we're 4 games in. To me, the most exciting Met right now is all the young kids. This kid Pete Alonso. He looks like he's a real deal ball player, and I know he's only 4 games in. Dominic Smith looks like a Montessario. There's McNeil. There's a couple ball players on the Mets that could be huge keys this year if they stay the way they're looking. But we know the way baseball is. You know who scares me? and I've watched every game because I got the MLB app, is the Philadelphia Phillies. Good God. I've never seen a ball player just spark so much electricity in an entire city and a whole lineup. Harper has really just blown those Phillies up. And I'm being honest, I've never seen a ball player since maybe the 80s. I'm going to say like a Dwight Gooden or when Gary Carter first came to the Mets. Or Mike Piazza maybe. That city's on fire with Bryce Harper.
Jim Brewer with us. Hey, you see Lenny Dykstra is in this fight with Ron Darling over, you know, and this is ugly.
It is ugly. And you know what? I have a lot of respect for Ronnie Darling.
Yeah.
He's a well-mannered guy. He's a great commentator. I'm a little taken back that he threw Lenny out like that, where, you know, it's like kicking a homeless guy. Why would you go after Dykstra? He's got enough of his problems. And if you're talking about something 30 years ago, weren't we all dopey, stupid, ignorant 30 years ago? And whether it happened or not, you can't tell me Lenny was the only one and it was just, you know, white guys. And but it's like, just, it. I get you got to sell a book, but to put Lenny out there, he's going to, if I was Ronnie Dollar right now, I'd be watching my back because Lenny's crazy.
Lenny's
I don't
nuts.
Want Lenny coming
Lenny's
after
nuts.
Me. I don't need Lenny Dykstra coming after me. You know why? He's got nothing to lose. And, you know, I don't know what Ronnie gains out of this. What does he gain? He could have made that same statement. You know, there were guys that said certain slurs and said these things, and it was so uncomfortable. I mean, the Mets were in-house like that. You had Backman fighting Strawberry and calling each other Strawberry's calling him a redneck and a stupid white this and that. I mean, you had it in-house. So, what?
My thing is, this happened in 1986. Why didn't Ron Darling say it in 1986, 1987, 1988? Why now? Well, he's selling a book now.
He's selling a book. And you know what? I get all that. I get selling a book. Who knows? You know, I've learned in life, too. There most likely was a personal vendetta here. Maybe he never solved an issue that he didn't like Lenny, and Lenny said something to him, and this was his way of going, screw you, Lenny. It might have been that, for all we know, but he wanted it. Yes, for it. He got it. So it's gonna be fun to watch this play out.
Jim Brewer is with us. His album is called Live from Portland. You can find it everywhere on the planet beginning Friday. There are some places, before I cut you loose, there are some cities that aren't funny cities. There are countries that are not funny countries. But is Portland a funny city? Like, do creative juices go here?
I think creative juices go everywhere. I got to be honest with you. I played Portland twice, and I remember each time having just really good sets. But now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm pretty confident everywhere I go. My comedy is relatability. I'm not an observational one-liner. I'm a storyteller. I find the good in everything. I go out of my way to find the funny everywhere. So I can't say one city is different from the other, but I think I've had great sets in Portland, or else I wouldn't be putting out an album called Live from Portland.
Jim Brewer, did you ever think when you were first starting out, I don't know, pre-SNL, when you first said, I want to get on stage, did you think, hey, I'm going to be 50 years old, this is going to be my life?
I knew this was going to be my life absolutely. Again, as a kid, by the time I was 16, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a stand-up comedian. I wanted to make people laugh. I loved making people laugh. So did I see it the way it is now? No. if anything, I saw it crazier. You know, there was one point where like, I'm gonna own the Bahamas. I'm gonna have leather pants. I'm gonna have a kangaroo. I'm gonna have a pet monkey. This is gonna be amazing. Although I'm really glad I didn't turn into that. I'm very happy where Jim Brewer is at my age. I have to say, it took me a long time to be where I'm at, but man, it feels good. I've been very blessed.
All right, Jim Brewer, I'm going to cut you loose. I appreciate you. Next time you're in Portland, you got to come in studio. We had you in here a few years ago, and you were a riot, so get on back here. But the album, Live in Portland, is on Friday, anywhere you can get an album. Brewer, thank you, man.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye.
There he is, Jim Brewer, actor, comedian, funny guy. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Our big splash is coming up. We had Jim Brewer in studio a few years ago. Do you have the liners, like the Get Back liners that we have our in-studio guests get?
I might. I can hunt for them.
You hunt for them right now because I want to play a couple of them. One of them was done by Jim Brewer. That one was funny. Bill Walton's were also kind of funny. We could play those. We don't have to play them only when we're getting back onto the show. And apologies to all the affiliates. He doesn't mention all the affiliates, so I'm going to say up front, all of you at KORE, Fox Sports Eugene, listen in Eugene or Springfield, or really that signal is a powerhouse in Eugene, 95.7 FM and 1050 AM. They are, appreciate all of you out there, but we didn't have like Jim Brewer mention you guys, or we didn't have Ari Spears mention you guys, or Bill Walton mention you guys, or even Klamath Falls, 960, the ESPN affiliate in Klamath Falls. Of course, people in Portland got their due. Who do you have right here? Who are we going to play?
I got Brewer right here.
All right, here's what Brewer did when he came in studio for us.
Hey, Portland, it's Jim Brewer. And this is Ozzy Osbourne. And this did it. I don't know what he's talking about. But you listen to John Canzano. Hey, Johnny Canzano on 750 The Game. Hey, Johnny, tell it like it is, huh?
There's Jim Brewer. Do you have the Bill Waltons in there?
Yeah, I saw him. Give me one second.
All right. You got whoever you want to play is fine with me. But what we do, because these guys that come in, they don't sign on to do this. And some of the people don't like doing it. Like John Lovitz came in. Although I made John Lovitz cry when he was in studio because we were talking about his childhood. It got a little Barbara Walters like in here. We're talking about his childhood. His father was a physician. John Lovitz himself went on to be on Saturday Night Live. You have Lovitz? But he wasn't excited about doing it. Who do you want to play, Walton or Lovitz?
Let's do Lovitz.
All right, so I got Lovitz in here. He's promoting his comedy appearance. I could still see him. He was right in the chair across the studio. Nobody sits in this chair. Everybody sits in, like, in my third... If it's a blackjack table, okay, and I'm the dealer, everybody sits at the first base position, okay? Occasionally, the handler will sit at the third base position right next to me, to my right. Nobody sits dead center field for some reason on that mic. I don't know why, but Lovitz did that day. And we got to talking about his dad. His dad had died like 3 months earlier. His dad was a doctor. His dad wanted to be a comedian. So I asked Lovitz, I started asking him questions about it. I said, did you become a comedian to fulfill your father's dream? We started talking about his dad. He started crying. And then after the interview, I remember they asked him, will you do this liner as he was leaving? Like the producers, they didn't know that he'd been in here crying. So I don't even know how it turned out.
Hello, I'm John Lovitz, and you're listening to John Canzano on 750 The Game.
That's it. It kept it pretty straight. But I can remember him being taken aback because he was crying. And then he said, and buy tickets to my comedy show. How about Bill Walton? What did he do?
Hey now, Bill Walton here, and you're listening to The Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano, my best friend. It's the greatest thing in the history of Western civilization.
Is there another Walton one? I thought there was one with a bicycle.
Hey now, Bill Walton here, and if I had anyone on the handlebars of my bike during the 1977 championship parade, it would have to be John Canzano.
I love that. we've had, you probably have a whole vault of them. Who else you got in there?
Oh, there's so many. I've never gone this far down. Do I see Dave Foley, one of the underrated comedians of all time right here?
Play it.
I'm Dave Foley, and John Canzano was not one of the kids in the hall.
That's Pauly Shore was good, because Pauly Shore got in trouble during the show because he kept pushing the envelope. And here's the thing with a guy like Pauly Shore. Once they figure out that you're uncomfortable, they keep going there.
This is Pauly Shore, and when I'm munching on some... Oh, I'm not allowed to say that. I listen to John Canzano on 750 The Game while I'm a-wheezing the Jews.
Yeah, he kept doing stuff, and I'd be like, hey, man, none of that. And so his whole thing was, I'm not allowed to say that.
Yo, what's up, Portland, Oregon? This is Pauly Shore, and I'm in town, and I always happen to be a lot cooler than John Leziziziquatsasasasabaranoz on 750 The Game. Is it okay that I messed up his name?
Yeah. Anyway, we got a whole bunch of those. This brings us, of course, to our big splash. It's the one thing you need to know today. In sports. Oh, I'm sorry, because you were in the vault. You're not ready. Now you're ready.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it.
Where?
Down there.
Must be.
The Big Splash.
Well, the Alliance of American Football, that hopeful, optimistic football league that wanted to be a minor league for the NFL, has suspended operations just 8 games into the first season. The 8-team Spring Football League is not folding, but games will not be played this weekend. The decision was made by majority owner Tom Dundon, who also owns the Carolina Hurricanes of the NHL. I communicated with 2 current coaches of the Alliance of American Football. They told me that they have a 3:00 conference call where they'll be informed of the fate of the league, but they all believe it's over. We'll have more on this as it develops. John Strong, the voice of American soccer, plus the chair of the NCAA basketball tournament will be with us, the women's tournament. Rhonda Bennett, she's from Hillsboro. She's running the show now. She'll be with us later in the program as well. You got the bald-faced truth. I want you to leave it right here, statewide, on the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Network.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.